Charles. What an amazing day.
Oh, yes. Like I always say, best day ever.
Best day ever. Mike, nice to have you in the house, man.
Good to be here. Good
Normally, he's not here on a Tuesday.
But graced us with his presence.
He's graced us with his presence.
You're welcome.
We have a treat for you, listening audience. We have a treat for you. Honestly, you have got to stay tuned for the rest of the time here because we have a special guest in the house, and I am so excited to have him. We're going to talk to him in a few moments, but he's sitting right here, and I am so excited. So let me just welcome everyone who's joining us today. I want to say thank you to two dad tours that I met yesterday. I had a meeting with two wonderful gentlemen yesterday who have signed up to be dad tours. And you know, like when we had Charles in the house the other day, and I had to say Charles 1, Charles 2, it just so happened that both of them were called John.
Okay.
Seriously. So, John Jensen.
First John and second John?
Oh.
Are we going to have a third John?
You know what? So forget the John 1, John 2. We'll just say first John, second John. But let me use this opportunity to talk about the mission of the father-child connection. We have been going on for about a month and a week now on this station. But this agency, the father-child connection, has a twofold mission. And listening audience, I'm asking you to work with me here and be part of this life-changing twofold mission. Number one is to empower fathers and father figures to reestablish or strengthen the connection between themselves and their children. Today, live in the studio, we have a real example of what the reconnection is all about. We're going to be talking about that in a minute. And then the second part of our twofold mission is to prepare today's sons to be tomorrow's responsible fathers and father figures. And so if we work from both ends simultaneously, the time might come when there will be no need for father-child connection or any other fatherhood group, because we will have solved the problem of absent fathers and disengaged fathers, and we would have prepared all our boys and young men to be responsible fathers and father figures. What a day that would be, Mike. What a day.
That'd be amazing, man.
But until then, we keep going on.
There we go.
So, normally we have today being the physical well-being of spies. And for those of you who are new to us, we follow a method around here. Each day of the week, we focus on a particular letter of our acronym called SPIES. We seek to empower our fathers and father figures to become better spies. So on Mondays, we focus on the spiritual. On Tuesdays, today, we would normally focus on the physical well-being. On Wednesdays, we would look at the intellectual mental health. On Thursdays, the emotional. And then on Fridays, the social. By the way, do not miss tomorrow's don't miss any of the sessions coming up. Don't miss. Tomorrow we have a special discussion about child support. And then Thursday and Friday, we have an attorney coming from the Florida Rural Legal Service to answer questions that dads have asked about the legal hurdles that prevent them from becoming involved in their children's lives. So we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end. But today, I want to welcome in the house somebody we spoke to twice on the phone when he was in Chicago, but he's in the house. Mike, do you want to introduce this wonderful special guest?
Yeah, man. We have my dad in the house.
His dad is in the house.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I thank you so much for coming, sir. It's nice to have you in person.
Thank you.
Hey, you aren't shy, man. You aren't shy. So when we spoke on the phone last time, you explained your side as to what happened while you weren't there for your wonderful son for how many years was it before you reconnected?
It was a little over 39.
Yeah.
A little over 39 years. So let me ask you, Mike. That day when you got a call, you were in the parking lot of Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. And you get a call with a Chicago area code, which you wouldn't normally have answered.
Right.
But you answered that day. And it was your dad, who is sitting right here to my left, who was on the phone. Prior to that day, what questions did you have about dad's absence? What questions did you have? Or even what feelings? Was it like feelings of rejection? Was it feeling of anger? What was explained to you?
I don't know. It was just my mom was trying to protect me when I was younger. So she really didn't give me a whole lot of information. So I didn't necessarily have any ill feelings. I didn't have any, like, there was no hatred. There was nothing there that said if I meet him, I was going to be coming with an angry or any type of ulterior motives. And I didn't really have any questions either, to be honest with you, because I didn't think that moment would come.
Dad, I'm calling you Dad. Did you have questions yourself as to what was happening to your son, whether he was alive, where he was living? What questions did you have?
Well, I kind of knew because I was lived on the same north side, and I knew where his mother worked, and periodically I would run into her very briefly for a few minutes. But even when I would say hello to her, she'd just turn around, she goes, oh, hi. Said, okay, it was something.
So you knew there was a little Mike.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that you didn't get a chance to meet him, or did you want to meet him? But what? Explain again what happened.
I seen Mike a day or two after he was born by his grandparents' house in southern Illinois. And that was the last time I seen him when I came back to Chicago. You know, she stood out there for I don't know how long. And so when the marriage thing came up with your grandparents, and I wasn't ready for that. So it was like we kind of just separated. And then I didn't see her, till...
When?
Yeah. Took a long time, and I didn't see Mike the first time when right past his 40th birthday.
His 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. And last Father's Day was the first time you guys got a chance to spend it together.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, yesterday he taught me how to change the oil in my car.
All right. Okay.
I don't know if I boycotted that for 45 years and waited for just for that moment, but, you know.
So that was a special moment.
Keep checking them off the box.
Yeah.
Did your video?
I didn't. But I'll teach my son.
Yeah. Let me say to you, Pop, one of the reasons I'm so glad you're here is that I believe the situation between you and Mike is a testimony that it is never too late to make amends. Mm-hmm. So long as you're alive, it is never too late. And for you, that day when you got that number and made that call, can you recall what you're feeling? Were you hoping it went into voicemail? Were you hoping you got him live? What were your thoughts then?
I was hoping for a voice, you know, and whatever was going to happen, it was going to happen. There was either going to be conversation or it was going to be rejection.
But you were open to either?
Yeah. Yes. You know, you have to go in with open mind and open heart, and then whatever lies, what happens, you know. And it was, he was surprised because I got to call for a number from somebody else. And I called him right after we hung up with the other person. And he was surprised, and he says, I had so many things I want to ask you. I said, well, just write them down because we'll be talking. You know.
All right.
Because the first conversation went, I thought it went pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, there are many kids, many young people who do not have a father figure. And the first assumption most people jump to is that the deadbeat dad doesn't care right. and walked away. But it's not always so. Sometimes moms are gatekeepers and keep the gate bolted.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, sometimes it's anger against dad or the way the child was conceived, 101 different reasons. For you, Dad, and I'm calling you Dad, sorry, not out of disrespect, okay. but out of sheer honor for your role. What was it that made that 39-year-plus gap happen? What led to that?
To our relationship? First, it was the phone call. The communication, as we were talking, it just got a little bit better. And I told him, whatever you want to know, just ask, and I'll tell you.
Right. But before that phone call, the gap, the silence, what led to that? I'm sure it wasn't necessarily one issue.
It could be a combination. It was, I have other children. I have two boys that don't talk to me to this day. I have a daughter that didn't talk to me for 20 years. And then Mike I've never seen up until first time. But I pray for all my children. You know, I didn't have that, before I came into recovery. And it was like I had to learn all over again about life, about everything that was going on in my life. Because there's a lot of stuff I don't remember I never do use this as an excuse, but I carried 38 shell fragments in my head from a shooting. Mm-hmm. And I was off for a long time, and things were going back and forth. But, like I said, there was just such a big gap with all my kids, But that doesn't mean that I love them any less.
Any less.
Or I don't pray for them and hope their life is, good.
Amen.
And thank God they're smarter than I am.
One of the things you said to me, Mike, is that Dad, the very day thereafter, he would send scriptures and inspirational things to you on your phone daily.
Every day. Yeah. Every day devotionals. And, I'm grateful. And you know what? And we've only had a short relationship together. And I feel like I'm still messing up because I don't read them every day, and he, even though we don't necessarily communicate, he's communicating through scripture.
Mm.
And I need to be a better son because I'm still learning how to be a better son to my dad, So there's still that growing process that I have to have as well. And then in turn, that's strengthening my relationship with God as well. So,
Charles, before you chime in here, you echo something that Bill said to me. Bill is one of our co-hosts. He's not here this morning, or Bob. But when I met with Bill, he heard the show, or at least promo on the radio, and he and I met in our famous Panera Bread. And I was telling him some things that, for me, take second place to being dad. And he said, well, I think there's something else. Before you became a dad, you were a son. Mm-hmm. And that is so true. The son, the dad you are, can very often be a result of the type of son that you were. And I'm hearing you say, Mike, that role of being son is still new to you. In fact, you have been a dad longer than you have been a sort of father-son with your dad here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think I commend your mother for not really bad-mouthing him, because that could have brought on so many negative emotions to where when he made that phone call and you heard it was him, you might have just hung up. Right. You might have cussed him out, whatever, and severed this great connection here. And it's interesting. You know how to be a son to a mother, but you're still learning how to be a son to a dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot, man. Like, you're right, because I never, like, when we first had that phone call, there wasn't a hate or resentment in the heart at all. There was no room for it. I didn't have it in there. And to have that opportunity, I was more grateful, and I felt blessed, and I felt like my walk in faith has led me to that, you know, and to have the open heart and just having the mindset to be able to build a relationship, then condemn it before it even started.
Mm.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we have too many instances where parents, fathers and mothers, badmouth the others.
Yeah.
And tarnish the attitude of the children toward one or the other.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not only when dad is absent or mom is absent, but when they go for weekends, when there is split custody, that the child comes home from dad or mom and they're a different person towards mom, the disrespect because of what the other parent had said. And I want to challenge our dads and father figures out there that, may I say to your brothers, if that's something that you are doing, stop.
Yes.
And it is never too late again to start doing the right thing.
Yes. You can't really confuse the children like that, because they want to love both of you.
Yeah.
And they want to love you equally. And don't use them as a pawn in your mess, so to speak.
Our mess. Mike, you said, and I'm coming back to that in a minute, but you said you're rational, you're, I don't want to say defending, but you put it together that could be that mom was trying to protect you. From what? What in your head, what would she be protecting you from?
I think it's what, you know, it, in any relationship, we don't, like you said, Charles, you don't want to use your kids as pawns, right? And you also don't want to throw your baggage on your children that they don't deserve that. Right. You know, she did really well with what she had, and I don't think she wanted to put that burden on me to get some cheap shots in, you know. And she was really good about, you know, if I would ask a question and, you know, she would just say, well, things happen, you know, we're not together. And she kind of left it at that. And, you know, I'm grateful, because it didn't give me that tainted image of what it was. But again, on the flip side, it kind of left me kind of in the dark, and really wanting to know what was on the other side, you know.
Because you had questions. You saw other kids with dads, and you were asking, where is my dad?
Yeah, it was always like, I go by my friend's house, my best friend's house, and, you know, the dads are there, and that father-son relationship. And I always kind of adapted to their dads as my dad, you know, which was great. But
it wasn't the same.
But it wasn't the same at all, no.
I'm so grateful, Dad, for your reconnection. And that's one of our missions. Let me just say quickly. Ideally, dad is there when child is born. The very moment mom says, hey, we're going to have a child, he is there. So that's the establish. But there are times you have to reestablish. And that's what happened between you two. Reestablish the connection. And then even those of us who are doing the right thing, we need to maintain that connection. Mm-hmm. Because it's not automatic. You have to work on it. I mean, you know, as a dad, Mike, that's what you are having to flip the coin, not the coin, but the script, and make sure that doesn't get repeated in your life and with your kids.
Yeah, and when the main thing was I didn't want my kids, my wife and I didn't want our kids to have that baggage on them. And when you came into town, Pop, I wanted to be Grandpa's here.
Mm.
And I just wanted to have nothing but pure joy. You know, I didn't want to have a cloud of like 40 years of my baggage. You know, I wanted them to be like, Grandpa's home, you know, and just have those moments.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to read the text that Bill sent in to all of us. He sent one in, and it says, when Mike said, I need to be a better son, and this is Bill talking, I felt that in my soul. It is truth in many ways. The type of son that you are is a foreshadow of the father that you will be. That's powerful. That is so powerful there. Thanks, and, Bill, for that.
Oh, man. Thank you,
Bill.
Listen, and by the way, Mike, thank you for choosing not to carry on the dysfunctionality.
Yeah, man. I mean, Dad, I just want to say thank you. Because I know it's not easy, but for you to have an open book was really important. And to share your journey and your testimony with me, and just to truly just say you pray for me, even when you didn't know me, to say that you loved me, even when you never, we never really met. That means everything to me. It really does. And I don't want to take any of these moments that we have together for granted. I don't want to lose any moments or opportunities to have a conversation and just changing the oil in the car, cracking jokes, or just being in the same room together is amazing.
Amen.
And I love you.
I love you too.
All right.
Dad, what do you say to other dads out there who are 40 years and counting or less, but they aren't in contact with their children? You said something powerful the last time. You said you don't give advice. You give
suggestions.
But what would be the suggestion you'd give to any dad or mom out there where there's a child involved but not connected to both mom and dad?
You know, first of all, you got to try to be a good parent regardless if you're in the picture or not. Mm-hmm. And pray for your kids and think about them, and it'll never happen in your time, but it'll happen in God's time. Mm-hmm. And it's, I was telling Mike, I have a friend, his wife took his daughter on vacation to Bulgaria, and now he hasn't seen her in 6 years.
Wow.
And he's in recovery, but we talk a lot, and I tell him, it's going to be okay, you just got to pray. And now that he's had some sobriety in his life, he's able to talk to his daughter, you know, which he thought would never happen, mm-hmm. you know. It's those little steps,
yes.
you know. And God gives you the strength to continue to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would just suggest that, you know, try to do the best that you can, regardless whether you're in the picture or not. In my case, I never knew my dad. I grew up hating him.
I recall you saying it was you were 9 years old when you met him and he was in a coffin.
Right. But when I got in recovery, I had someone who guided me through a lot of steps, and forgiveness was one. And he said, you can never be free unless you forgive.
Mm. Which is a biblical principle.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I learned to forgive my father. My father was a World War hero in World War II. And he came back differently. But because of the program that I'm in, my father has a headstone today.
Mm. Mm.
Never had one.
Awesome.
Never wanted a military funeral. But today I still see him. You know, I wrote a letter to my father, went to the gravesite, did what I had to do, and closed the book on that chapter.
It's not just the statistics that prove that if you have not been fathered or fathered properly, almost always, it spills over into how you father or not.
Right.
There are times when you choose to flip the script, as in your case, and to break the cycle. But it does have an impact on you one way or another, because even though you, Mac, I know, have tried and are trying to be the best dad you possibly can to your two wonderful kids, there were gaps.
Yeah.
There were gaps. And God so honored your desire, Dad, in your prayers and your yearning to reconnect you. And I trust that this relationship between you two continues to grow and grow and becomes even better. And for you men, as co-host in this show here, you have a story to tell to other dads. And so nice to have you as part of the crew.
I appreciate that. And, you know, ripples make tidal waves. And whether they're for the good or the bad, you have to dip your toe in and just really see what's out there, what's happening in your life, and everything is connected. So, like you said, Pop, you know, even if you're not in the picture, you still have to be a good person.
Hmm.
Because you never know along that line when those waves will crash on the shore.
So for those of you out there who wish to support this program, this movement, because the radio program is just one part of what we do, we have something called Operation Daducation. That's when we recruit fathers and father figures to serve as dad tours for kids who do not have a father figure, or for a dad who is in his teens and early 20s and hasn't got a clue what it is to be a father. We're asking you to give us a call. We're starting the first Monday in October officially, and we would like to have as many fathers and father figures being part of Operation Daducation. For those of you who wish to support us with your prayers, please continue to do so. With your hours, volunteering, with your dollars, your tax-deductible contributions, please call us 561-229-2379, 561-229-2379, or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org.
You know, I listened to Dad say he prayed for his children often. And I always say that there's no distance
in prayer
that prayer will not cover. And whether he felt it or not, his prayers were molding you. And I also commend and thank the person that got to you, that told you that you need to forgive your dad, because without that forgiveness, there wouldn't be a connection.
Yes, it would have seeped over.
Yes.
It's like asbestos. It affects you even without you knowing it.
Just awesome.
Oh, man. My brother, what do you say to those sons out there who are not in connection with their fathers? What do you say to them?
One, when you're angry, you clench fists. So you have to let go of that anger and open up your hands and receive those blessings, because they will come.
Amen.
One way or the other. If not with your dad currently, then somewhere down the line for something else, it will come.
Heavenly Father, we close this program in prayer this morning, and we are grateful for the loving Father that you are. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Thanks for joining us today on the Dad Up Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. That's dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org.